Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Well, this Turn Up Tuesday from USA Today, Ravens Wire Window Nation guest hotline, Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Feeling good, guys. Yeah, Ravens first full week of a break before training camp begins in about a month. So the little relaxation for the Ravens, it begins right now.
Let me ask you this. With the wide receivers, we were just talking about Rashad Bateman, who was on the Lounge podcast. At least during the Lamar Jackson era, is this the most talented wide receiver group that he's had to work with? And if we really want to dig deep, as we have the 30th season in Ravens history about to kick off here in a couple of months, maybe the deepest they've ever had?
Yeah, I mean, I think this Ravens wide receiver room is great right now. And in terms of it being the deepest room they've ever had, I think it's up there, you know, with Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman is the 1-2. And then with DeAndre Hopkins as your number three, I think that, you know, with another year, I'd say, of improvement for those two guys. And then the upgrade that I think DeAndre Hopkins is from Nelson Aguilar. Nelson had, you know, a great couple years in Baltimore. I mean, I think his 2023 was better than his 2024, but, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, I think, brings you that go-getter receiver, someone that can go get you the ball, and, you know, someone who's a contested catch guy. And I think that the Ravens, they've needed that skill set for a pretty long time now. So I think with those three and then the depth of a Tylan Wallace, Tez Walker, LeJounte Wester, I mean, I like where they are right now. And I know that Bateman said that, you know, he wants to be a reason why the Ravens have their wide receiver conversations flipped and people talk about Baltimore wide receivers in a different way. And look, I think this year could go a long way towards that.
Now, Kevin, what do you think happens, you know, with if they have the starting group out there defensively, secondary-wise, is it Wiggins and Marlon? You know, how does Jair fit in there?
I think that for Baltimore, there are a lot of different things they can do with Jair. And I think one of the things that I'd expect them to do is play Marlon in the slot a lot. And what they could do is with big nickel packages, whether it's Marlon there, Kyle Hamilton, you can put Wiggins and Jair on the outside and then have Marlon in the slot. And I think that what Jair does is kind of like with Malachi Starks, how he's that piece to free up Kyle Hamilton. I think Jair is someone that can free up Marlon Humphrey, because I know we've talked about it before where Baltimore, you know, they don't play base defense and they're not just like this 100% of the time they play base. So for Baltimore, if they want to play dime packages, if they want to play heavy DBs out on the field, you know, with Patrick Queen and Pittsburgh, you know, the reason they were able to play two linebackers on the field together in 2023 was because PQ was so good next to Roquan, but you don't have to do that all the time. So, you know, if you're just talking about a general base defense, the Ravens don't have a pure slot guy right now, where it's not like a Tavon Young is there, Arthur Millett, like they don't have a pure guy there. So I'd expect them to use some level of a rotation there. So I think that what we'll see is Marlon in the slot a decent amount, Kyle Hamilton down there as well. So I think we're going to see Jair on the outside, Wiggins on the outside, and Marlon will get his fair share on the outside as well, because we know the Ravens have had years where they have that three cornerback rotation on the outside, like a Brandon Carr, Marlon Humphrey, Jimmy Smith, or Marcus Peters, Jimmy Smith, and Marlon Humphrey. So they like to use those guys, but I would probably say that Marlon gets some slot time, and then we see Jair and Wiggins on the outside at points as well.
Now, what are the odds that you think that Wester is going to be the punt returner against Buffalo?
I think that for me, the punt returner spot, you know, it's a decent competition where I think that for Tanner Wallace, LeJounte Wester, like I think it comes down to those two guys for me. And just personally, I think LeJounte Wester wins that job, though, I think it's a decent chance that LeJounte is the punt returner in week one against Buffalo. I mean, I think that there are a lot of things that LeJounte can do for the Ravens in terms of maybe being a gadget player for the offense. And, you know, I think Pat Wallace has a shot. Like, I think that it's not just LeJounte's job to lose here, but I think to me he brings you that aspect. And he's a player that I think is super intriguing to me as a late-round guy. So the Ravens have been looking for a punt returner, at least a consistent option there for a while, and I personally like LeJounte to be their guy as a punt returner week one.
Do you think the Ravens will keep five running backs, and that includes Ricard? Do they keep Ali and Mitchell, or do they just keep one of those two?
The roster crunch is going to be tight this year, and I'm not sure that five running backs is on the table for them, where I don't see it for Ali right now. I mean, he could blow you away in training camp or preseason and change that conversation, but right now I have him off. I think it'll just be four if you include Ricard in there, just because, you know, if you keep Ali, that's an extra offensive lineman you can't carry, an extra D lineman you can't carry. There are questions about others as well. You know, are they going to keep six outside linebackers, or what are they going to do in the secondary? There are a lot of secondary guys that maybe they'd like to keep. So I think if the Ravens move off of Ali, it's not a guarantee, but I'd feel decently confident that he would make the practice squad or clear waivers to make the practice squad, just as a, you know, is a guy that if he didn't have like a stellar preseason, just like an average one, an average training camp, I'm not sure a team would claim him. So I'd feel comfortable knowing, hey, we can keep an extra guy that maybe had a great preseason, and that guy's definitely going to get claimed. And for Ali, it's not like the end of the world, I guess, if he gets claimed. But again, we don't know what his training camp's going to look like. We don't know what his preseason's going to look like. But for now, you know, if we were doing the 53-man today, I would have Ali off of the roster.
Now, do you think Kone, Longer Beam, Bo Braid, how many of those three make it?
Secondary is so crowded. It's a good problem to have. I wouldn't be shocked if – I think Bo Braid makes it. I'd be pretty floored if Bo Braid didn't make it. So I think between those two, between Kone and Longer Beam, we know that Eric DaCosta is not afraid to move off of rookies. You know, it's a different time than when Ozzie Newsome was the guy there, where Ozzie would, for the most part, always want to give the rookie class a shot, you know, to prove themselves. If they need a roster spot, if it's not working, it's not going to happen. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if one of those two guys doesn't make the roster. But to me, you know, you have, like, in that depth area, Braid, Sanusi Kane with Longer Beam, and, you know, Okone. Jalen Armour Davis is a guy that maybe you could have him not make the roster in favor of the two rookies if he doesn't perform well. So I think one depth piece is not going to make the roster, whether that is one of the rookies, Jalen Armour Davis. I think Kane and Braid are safe personally, so I think it comes down to those three I mentioned. And right now, I think it would be – I know they're trying them out at safety right now, but I'm not sure Jalen Armour Davis does make the roster, although we did hear Zach Orr have high praise for him, so I know the team thinks highly of him, but there are only so many roster spots you can put guys on.
Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today, the Ravens Wire, joins us every Tuesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Kevin, last thing for you. If the Ravens were bringing in a veteran to fill a spot or compete for a spot, most likely position that will be?
If they bring in somebody else, I feel like it's either going to be safety or edge or guard, one of those three. I think, you know, the Ravens, they're crowded everywhere. They have a great roster. Maybe it's a Justin Simmons. Maybe it's a Jadeveon Clowney or just a depth piece of guard. Those are the three I'm looking at.
What about a guy that swings the leg at a leather football?
Maybe. Come on, man. You never know. You know, we know the Luke has had some inconsistency.
Yes, he has.
That's a good one. Maybe a vet for camp purposes. That's a good one. I didn't even think of that.
The Looper. Hopefully he's not the big storyline of 2025 for sure. Kevin Ostreicher, what's happening on the website right now?
Yeah, just going through the whole break process before training camp, diving into some of those guys the Ravens can maybe add to the roster, and you know, diving into some camp battles to watch. I mean, it's going to be exciting. A lot of talented players in the 90-man right now, but we know that 90 men do not make the roster. So you got to cut down, and we'll see which guys end up making it.
Kevin, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday.
You too, guys. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
This is Kevin Ostreicher, everybody. We'll come back. It's the Whip Around. Happened in the world of sports last night. Quite frankly, not a lot that isn't baseball or anything on the periphery like that. But the NBA draft is tomorrow. The first round, Jimmy Patsos, of course, coach, national champion. He'll be joining me Thursday as we break down what happened in the first round. Derek Queen's going to go, but ESPN had their latest mock draft come out yesterday. And where does DQ wind up as they see it? We'll talk about that very subject. Dave LaMonica from TerrapinTimes.com, 11:30. And we're creeping closer as well to Maryland football. We are the flagship home of Terps. So Mike Loxley, big season for him. They have a new AD. I'm guessing 4-8 is not going to be very impressive with an empty stadium.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport. Every game.
Everything. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
We're going to talk to Dave LaMonica, TerrapinTimes.com, here at the bottom of the hour, about Derek Queen and his draft status, and still expected to be a first-round draft pick. And ESPN, among many, have their mock drafts out. First pick, Cooper Flagg, Dallas, duh.
Yeah.
San Antonio, Dylan Harper. I guess that's kind of a duh, too. Philly has the third pick, AJ, from Baylor, who was one of the top five players in last year's class. He's a stud. Charlotte's got number four, and they got Konkanepel, Duke, going there. The Jazz, they're taking Jeremiah Fears, the point guard from Oklahoma, at five. The Wiz, I don't know if I'm digging this pick based on this kid's all. We were talking about this yesterday, Sean Devaney. Ace Bailey blowing off every interview.
What's his deal?
I don't know.
What's he, Shedeur Sanders?
But he was all the mocks post-college tournament, yeah, which they didn't make, by the way, with two of the top picks in the draft. Rutgers had him going three, like a strong top five pick. Now he could, air quotes, fall to the Wizards at six. And, you know, when Rutgers played at College Park, Nolan, if you remember last year, well, a few months ago, he had the flu. Played in the first half, didn't play well. Then was on the bench kind of like hurling into a bucket on the sideline at the Xfinity Center. But I don't know what kind of power play he's trying to pull. He's hurting himself financially, I'm guessing. Coming off maybe because he had scheduled visits and then canceled them, which is kind of the bigger deal. Instead of just going, I'm not visiting. Then you just do a blanket, ain't showing up for nothing. Had a visit with Philly.
Yeah.
Third pick in the draft. And he's like, I'm good.
So he must have a destination that they've already said that they'll take him and that he wants to go to, I'm guessing.
I have no idea. But anyway, tomorrow night we'll find out. Derek Queen. Number 15, Oklahoma City.
Ooh.
And ooh. You're going to the NBA champs?
I know. I just
and you don't have to go in and be
later.
The dude. You know what I mean? Now, some mocks have him going in the top 12. And we'll talk about it, as I said, with Dave LaMonica here in a couple of minutes. But either way, Derek Queen's going to be a first-round draft pick, which Baltimore kid, Maryland Terrapin, all kind of great things. As a matter of fact, Nolan, as we remember his Baltimore-ness, how about this moment from the NCAA tournament? Just, man, 3 months already?
Gillespie looking to throw it in. Gets it up top to Queen. Dribbling left. Big step down the lane. Runner for the win. Baked it in! He baked it in! He baked it in! And Maryland has won! Maryland is going to the Sweet 16!
For the first time in 9 years, That's Westwood on the call. And the great line that will forever put him in Baltimore lore. Well, he's from Baltimore, so us Baltimoreans always respect that just because. But did you think he could, what made you think he could make that shot? I'm from Baltimore. That's why. Showing them cojones. But Derek Queen, we'll talk about that with Jimmy Patsos on Thursday after the fact. So that should be.
Where do you think he goes, Bob?
I have no clue. No idea. Now, Joe Lunardi, ESPN, his latest bracketology. Yes, I know it's a quiet time in sports outside of baseball and Wimbledon coming up. And for all you golf enthusiasts, Joe Lunardi's got Maryland as a 10 seed in the Midwest, where they would play Louisville and Philly with these dopey pods. You're in the Midwest region, so you play in Philly. Then you got to go to OKC, assuming they get to the regionals like they did this year. But literally, new players every position. It's a brand new team. And Nolan, we thought this was going to be finish at the bottom of the Big Ten season. Now, and we'll talk with Dave again. Now it's like, well, they don't make the tournament. We're going to be pissed.
Well, we still got to see the team.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Look, you're bringing in a whole new crop of guys. Most of them have never played together before. It's always a gamble. You know, you put together all these pieces on paper and you look at it and say, well, why shouldn't it work? That's a tournament team. Look at all the talent. Look, they check all the boxes that we would want. But you might be missing that chemistry when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and he brought in some dudes from Texas A&M, this passport kid from Kansas who was a, top 50 recruit 2 years ago. He's like an electric athlete, so the athleticism, the toughness is expected to be a little more on point than the Crab 5. Problem, at least on paper, is they can't shoot.
Ugh.
At least that's what we've been led to believe. It's the Whip Around Video and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. This day in Orioles history, today is June 24th. How about 1997 in Milwaukee? Pete Incaviglia, he goes yard. Robbie Alomar, Cal Ripken, two Hall of Famers, both drove in two. Sean Boskey gets the win. Arthur Rhodes goes four, no hit, no walk, 5K relief innings to pick up the save. Arthur Rhodes, he was throwing 98, 99 miles an hour doing his thing. 2012, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Matt Wieters hit a two-run homer in the bottom of the eighth. Pedro Strop got the win in relief of Jake Arrieta, who pitched well. Jim Johnson picked up his 22nd save. And then 2 years ago, Oriole Park, Camden Yards, Ryan McKenna hit a two-run walk-off homer in the 10th inning as the Orioles stunned the Mariners 6-4. Aaron Hicks and Tony Taters also went deep as the eventual American League East champs. Orioles took out the Mariners in stunning fashion because the Mountain blew the save in the top of the 9th inning. Gave up a home run to tie it. And then the Orioles, as they were, winning 101 games, found a way to win. And we're going to end, unfortunately, the Whip Around sad note. Scott Miller passed away. And for those who listen to this program, Scott Miller, regular contributor to the program, MLB Network Radio, wrote for CBS, was in San Diego, longtime Major League Baseball writer. He was just on the show, 3 weeks ago, maybe?
Within the month.
Yeah.
One of the nicest guys you'll ever talk to.
Wealth of baseball knowledge. 62 years old, passed away, cancer. Our buddy Bob Nightingale put it out there on the Twitterverse. And Nolan told me yesterday, and I'm like, huh? I was stunned to hear the news, and he had passed away. Obviously, married, family, litany of friends, respected in the profession. I was floored, and I didn't know him personally. I knew him from what we talk about here on 105.7 The Fan, but still a horrible, horrible news story that broke, and it hits us a little bit here, but not to make it about us because it's not. But I just want to pay tribute to Scott Miller. And thoughts and prayers to his family and his friends, and thank him for all his contributions to making our show the best it could be. When we come back, Dave LaMonaco, Derek Queen, where's he going? Who knows? 10th seed from Maryland. Is that the little optimistic Joe Lunardi? And what's up with Mike Loxley's football team? New AD, does this mean Mike Loxley could be on the hot seat? Are you really going to go with a freshman quarterback? It's not. Matter of fact, you look at Mike Loxley's track record, that's kind of what he's done before. Juice Williams comes to mind.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So on the Window Nation guest hotline, let's welcome back Dave LaMonaco. Dave, good morning. What is up?
Morning, Bob. I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Doing all right, man. I appreciate the time as always. And before we get to Derek Queen, stock rising, dropping, whatever, based on some of the strengths and weaknesses that have been put together by the scouts, Joe Lunardi's got Maryland as a 10 seed. Which is, you know, kind of strong, got them as one of the last buys, meaning they're secure in their dance ability in 25-26. Completely different roster. Chemistry is going to have to be developed, et cetera, et cetera. Buzz, of course, has a great track record of doing just that. But a little aggressive with the optimism here when we're talking 3 months ago about a Maryland program that might hit the skids for a year or two.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that aggressive. I mean, he's really done a good job. I mean, he's got all 15 guys in here in just a couple months, 14 scholarship guys, only one walk-on, and it's a defensive-minded team. It's an aggressive team. Now, how all those pieces come together, you never know. That's today's college basketball. It's a new team every year for most programs, so we'll see how they all come together. But, it's going to be a tough physical team. I think I've told you before when I was on, they're going to have to win games like 54-48, but hey, man, that's okay. win's a win. So, if they can sneak into the tournament this year as a 10 seed, you know, you take that with the guys that they've been able to bring in. I think that's definitely a possibility.
Well, one of the heroes, obviously, from last year's team, Dave, was Derek Queen. Crap five. He's going to be picked tomorrow night in the first round of the NBA draft. We were just talking about ESPN's latest mock has him going to OKC at 15, which would be a nice spot, I would think, for him, because he doesn't have to be the guy right out of the gate. But, you know, what are you hearing about the draft buzz, the strengths, the weaknesses, and maybe the critiques? I know he didn't test all that great athletically at the combines here.
Right. I don't know if that would be a great spot for him because OKC is loaded, so he'd probably have a hard time getting on the floor there. Hopefully he, depending on, I'm not sure of OKC's free agent situation and things like that, but it might take him a couple of years if that's that is where he ends up going. But 15 does sound about right based on, we were looking lottery at the beginning, but he didn't, like you said, he didn't test all that well. Athleticism is, that's a little questionable. Didn't play defense at Maryland very much. Is going to have to play defense at the next level, especially, he's a little slow-footed, so defending the wing has been a problem for him. And then, you know, he's only 6'9", 6'9½", so defending the rim in the NBA is going to be a little bit tougher than in college. So with those question marks, maybe dropping into that 15 range is probably about right, but there's a lot to like about Queen that teams could use as a complementary piece, especially on the offensive end with his ability to score. He's got to develop a three-point shot. That's another big thing right there. Some of the other guys that have come out, even Alex Len was able to develop a three-point shot. Queen's got to be able to develop that jumper, or he's not going to last too long. So hopefully he works on that. He didn't do too well at the combine with it, but is going to have to develop that in order to have an impact at the next level.
Yeah, Jalen Smith could bang his share of threes, too, coming out of College Park as well. But given the fact, and I'm trying to connect dots here, Dave, being optimistic, day before the first round, was a 75-76% foul shooter. So the touch is there. Just got extended another 10 feet. So is the capability possibly maybe not right out of the gate as a youngster in the NBA, but somewhere along the lines he can make that little set shot three happen for him.
Yeah. He's just got to, if you're watching some of his rounds in the combine, he has got a little hitch in his stroke. He's got to smooth that out a little bit. They'll work on that, obviously, regardless of what program he goes to or what team he goes to. So hopefully maybe in a year or two, he'll be able to develop that 3-point stroke and be a guy that can have an impact at the next level, maybe like an Aaron Wiggins did for OKC this year. So hopefully that he has a bright future there. And that's always good to see former Terps do well at the next level. It helps with recruiting definitely when that happens.
Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Dave, before we get to football, what's the update on Julian Reese here? I know we keep talking about old Juju. He's not coming back to Maryland. I think that's been pretty much established because there's no money left in the till for this year's team. But any idea what his future holds over the next few months here?
It's been pretty quiet on that front. Moms has been pretty quiet there. His camp has been quiet. We sort of put it to rest just because he's not coming back to Maryland. There's no chance of that. There's no money left. Buzz has already moved on and gotten other big men in there. He's probably going to end up pro either, maybe overseas or something like that. Maybe last minute he'll decide to come back to college, and then he'll end up transferring to another program. But it's been silent on, and quite honestly, we kind of stopped following it because it's pretty clear he's not coming back to Maryland. So.
Dave, looking at all the projections and stuff for the Terps football season this year, it doesn't look really good.
Yeah. Is that... Yeah, it's going to be a little rough this year. It could be. You're looking to start in a freshman quarterback behind a questionable offensive line. Lots of holes everywhere, Vinny, which is kind of the theme most years. Post Tagovailoa, they've had some problems. So the schedule isn't that hard on paper. So maybe they'll be able to scratch out a few wins, but it might be a trying year,
now,
to say the least.
Dave, how much heat is Locksley under? New AD,
yeah.
They haven't performed that well as of late.
Yeah, this is it's a good amount of heat. Yeah, this could be the new AD. The writing could be on the wall here, especially if they don't, even if they do somehow manage to scratch out six wins, which looks like a long shot at this point, just how the roster is built, unless guys really outperform what they're capable of. Yeah, you're looking at a sub-500 season, which might probably will not save Locksley's job. And then we'll be looking for a new football coach after the season, which is what it looks like right now. We'll see. There's a long way to go. Things can happen. But that is sort of what the tea leaves are reading at this moment in the middle of the summer.
Freshman quarterback out of the gate, though, Malik Washington. Is that
maybe,
what we're leaning towards?
Maybe a couple. Honestly, it's looking like last year when they brought in MJ Morris and they thought that he was going to take it, and then he didn't do anything. Justin Martin, the guy they brought in from UCLA, is kind of looking the same sort of way. He didn't really impress during the spring. Didn't look great in the spring game. So it's sort of opening the door almost for Malik Washington to take over. Maybe not in week one. Maybe they'll ease him in like week three or something like that. But it's looking like Malik is going to have control of the offense as a freshman, which we really don't want to see, but it is what it is. I actually liked the kid that they brought in a couple years ago, Christian Martin, who played really well in the spring game. He actually 6'4" guy and was a pretty highly rated recruit, not as highly as Malik, but was a pretty well thought of prospect, and he looked really good in the spring. But they paid, it's money now, and they paid Malik money. And if it comes down to it, they're going to give the reins to Malik over a guy like Christian more than likely. So, we'll see what happens. I like Malik. Malik is going to be good, but it's going to take him a year or two. I mean, he still stares down receivers. He still takes a while to go through his progressions. He's got the arm strength. He's got the poise. It's going to take him a little bit of time. So if people expect him to come in there and lead, especially behind this offensive line, and become an all Big Ten quarterback, it's not going to happen that first year.
Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com. Dave, as always, appreciate the time and the intel. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, talk to you later, Bob.
Thanks, Dave.
There's Dave LaMonaco, everyone. We'll come back. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, at least get reacquainted with the old Quick Draw. News from the desk coming up top of the hour. Talk to Ravens there, buy or sell. Where's the money? Hopefully we're counting that on Turn It Up Tuesday. Matt Weirich, talk Orioles with him. Birds win last night, 6-6. 6-0. Trevor Rogers, brilliant. He's had the two best starts of the Orioles season. He sandwiched a pretty crappy one against Tampa last week, but you'll take what you can get. So we'll talk to Matt about that. NFL lunch, 1 o'clock, and we'll talk to Miles Simmons, coming up here, profootballtalk.com. As the Orioles get that win, starting a homestand on a positive, trying to make it two in a row. Charlie Morton, three-game set here, and then Tampa comes to town this weekend as the Orioles are trying to chip away. They're 6.5 out of the wild card. Let's see how close they can get to 500 before we get to the All-Star break coming up in less than 3 weeks. Let's bring Nolan McGraw in. Nolan, what's up?
Doing well. I see the video here, the Thunder celebrating or getting their celebration started today. Had the fans out at the arena, all the players speaking. I guess the parade will follow later this week. But Aaron Wiggins, hyping up the crowd a little bit, gave a nice speech about how he started there. They were losing a bunch, turned things around quickly, and it got me thinking about him in particular, former Maryland players really that have made it to the NBA. It's quite a few, obviously. Not really an issue getting guys to the next level. But
they've had the number one pick in the draft twice, Maryland.
Right. Once they get there, though, long-term legacies and everything. You've had players that have made all-star games. Steve Francis, Buck Williams was an all-star, right?
Rookie of the year.
You know, Walt Williams was made like an all-NBA team or an all-rookie team, I think. Wiggins has got the hardware already. He's got the ring. How big of a part was he in that? Well, not a starter. But I would say upside-wise, maybe I'm out of bounds here, but he might have a greater upside of any Maryland player in the NBA that we've seen in a long time. I mean, just think about his ascent, how quick it's been, the impact that he's had in playoff games, scoring off the bench.
He helped them win two critical games in that series.
So I don't know if he's going to be a starter down the road, but the trajectory that he's been on has certainly been impressive to me because while he was at Maryland, I did think he would be an NBA player, but I was skeptical about how long his staying power would be at the next level. And he certainly proved me wrong so far.
Yeah, second-round draft pick, too. Remember, Jalen Smith was a lottery pick, 10th pick of the draft now on, his third team in Chicago. But Aaron Wiggins, the athleticism is certainly there, the ability to bang threes, which helps your cause. He's long, he's lengthy, so he could play some defense. And look at it this way, too. You're OKC. You can only afford to pay so many players. And if he continues to be an asset off the bench, and when he starts, remember in February, he averaged almost 20 points a game, getting a lot of run because they had some guys banged up a little bit. He might be able to parlay that into a starting gig elsewhere in the league. But congratulations to him. Certainly looks good for Maryland to pick up that ring. I wouldn't anoint him as the best Maryland NBA player of all time just yet, but certainly on a trajectory where the best is yet to come for him. And we just talked about Derek Queen. He's going to get announced tomorrow night. I'm sure there'll be a lot of hugging going on.
Yeah,
everybody likes to hug everybody in these situations.
Well, and based on that one mock draft, could be teammates.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They did not play together, obviously, at the University of Maryland. But, you know, Maryland in the blood. How's that sound?
If I'm Queen, though, I wouldn't want to be... Because if you're a player, you want to go where the opportunity is for you to play. That's the biggest thing. I mean, Charlie's going through the same thing right now. When you look at teams, you want to go, okay, where am I going to have the best chance to play? And I think that's the same thing with Queen. Where do I have the best chance to play right away?
Mm-hmm. Well, you balance that. I mean, you want to play for a good team too. So it's a fine line to walk. You know, I understand the personal side of it. You know, I didn't make it this far to the NBA to just sit on the bench.
Sure.
But it'll wear you out pretty quickly playing in a place like Washington, for example. I mean, well, after a couple of years, even if you're scoring 20
they got
a night.
A chance to be better, won't they, Bob?
Who, the Wiz? Yeah, they got a lot of young
There's
talent.
Nowhere to go but up.
Yeah,
but
I mean they've been, you talk about less than mediocre. I mean, the Wizards are the NBA quintessential, hey, we'll be good for a couple years. I mean, this is how bad things have been for the Wizards. And I grew up when they were the Bullets here in Baltimore and watched them go to the finals four times in one decade and win an NBA championship. Talk about the Bradley Beal, John Wall, Martin Gortat years, and the Jameson, that era with Gilbert Arenas, like they were like the 86 Celtics. They didn't even win, neither one of those teams won 50 games or even made it to the conference finals. That's how barren things have been for the Wizards. But they do have a lot of upside, and they got a Baltimore kid, Bob Carrington, who's got star potential coming into his second year as well.
Right, and obviously I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, Derek Queen go there selfishly. you know, keep him in the area. It could be a good selling point for him, and he would get plenty of play time there, that's for sure.
Maybe we can get free tickets. It's Vinny at Haney 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, we got news from the Nats. Going to hear from Kyle Van Noy, buy or sell, 12:15. Talk Orioles with Matt Wyrick. Trevor Rogers, where'd that come from? All right, you'll take 8 innings, 3 hits, no runs every time he takes the ball. Probably won't happen, but what is the real Trevor Rogers? He's made 2-3 starts. 2 were outstanding. 1 was not so much, but he's going to get his opportunities. Can he help salvage this Orioles season, at least in regards to the wild card?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.